This morning we'd like to draw your attention, excuse me, to Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nations. The call of God on the life of Jeremiah. Let's take a look at this man that the Lord was calling. In verse 1, we are introduced to him as Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, the land of Benjamin. If you go back in your Bible history to 2 Chronicles, you will find that Jeremiah, according to verse 2, began to prophesy during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah. In looking at the reign of Josiah, we find that he was only 8 years old when he began to reign, but he came into the kingdom of Judah at the time of great spiritual declension. The people had forsaken the Lord and the house of the Lord. They had turned their backs on God. The temple was just a trash heap. People had just started dumping trash in the temple grounds because the temple was not being used for worship. There were many false gods that had been embraced by the people and were being worshiped, and the true and the living God had been forsaken. But Josiah began spiritual reformations. They began to clean up the temple of God in order that they might begin to worship there again. And as they were cleaning up the temple and restoring the temple, Hilkiah, the high priest, found a copy of the law that he brought to the king. Hilkiah, the father of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah. When they read the law, they realized how serious was their breach against God. In the law, God had declared, if you will keep the law and keep my commandments, then I will be your God, and I will bless you, and I will prosper you, and I will cause your enemies to fall before you, and I will provide for you. And God promised all of the things that they would experience if they would just worship him. But in the law, he also declared, but if you forsake me, then I will forsake you, and ultimately you will be defeated by your enemies. And he told of the calamities that would befall them if they forsook the Lord. And they had forsaken the Lord. And thus they realized that the hand of God's judgment was about to fall upon them. And so they sent to Huldah, the prophetess, that she might speak to them the word of the Lord and what they should do because of this great sin. Huldah, the prophetess, was the wife of Shalom, who was the uncle of Jeremiah. And so we find him from a religious family, his father, the high priest. His aunt was Huldah, the prophetess, who was sought when they wanted to hear from the Lord there in Jerusalem. And so he came from a strong spiritual background. His family was very prominent in the spiritual community there in Jerusalem. He evidently studied the law when it was discovered. For throughout the prophecies of Jeremiah, we will find many, many quotations and references to the law. Now, sometimes preachers' kids get a bum rap. They call them PKs, and they are sort of noted for their rowdiness. Growing up in that kind of an environment is not easy, in that people oftentimes have unrealistic expectations of the preacher's kid. Somehow people always idealize the preacher's home. Surely there are never any arguments or cross words there. Nobody ever gets upset. Things are always just so smooth and pleasant and happy. The kids are supposed to be paragons of virtue. They're not supposed to be like the deacon's kids. They're supposed to be, you know, ideal and perfect. And so the kids live under tremendous pressure of these exaggerated expectations. And so they're not supposed to react or respond like other kids. They're supposed to be perfect in decorum and behavior. And many times, because of these unrealistic expectations, preachers' kids rebel. And they just go out and try to prove that they're more than normal. We see oftentimes that rebellion that comes because of demands that are made upon them. On the other hand, many of them have followed in the footprints of their Christian heritage and have become some of the great ministers and leaders and statesmen of the nation. Now, this was the case of Jeremiah. Coming from a spiritual background, his father the high priest, his aunt a prophetess, Jeremiah had an ear that was open to the Lord early in his life, a heart that was desiring the things of the Lord. And so Jeremiah was one of those cases where the spiritual environment in which he was raised rubbed off on him in a good way. And so the call of God came to Jeremiah, and that call is recorded in verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations." So before he was ever formed in the womb, God said, "I knew you." There's an argument today as to when life actually begins. And the pro-abortionists say that life doesn't begin until the baby is born and takes its first breath, begins to cry. That's when life begins. The anti-abortionists declare that life begins at the moment of conception. But our text would indicate that life even begins before we were conceived. God said to Jeremiah, "Before you were ever conceived, I knew you." David said, "God knew all of the parts of my body before they ever existed." God knew what color of hair he would have, what color of eyes he would have, what kind of a build. God knew all about him. David said, "You knew me before, when there was yet none of them. You knew all of the members of my body. You knew the parts of my body before they existed." God in his foreknowledge, Jeremiah's life and ministry began in the mind of God before Jeremiah was ever born. The same is true of each of us. God knew us before we were ever born. God knew all about us. God is omniscient. And God had a plan for each of our lives. In the mind of God, there is a purpose, there is a plan for each of us that God would have us to fulfill for His glory, that work that God has purposed for you to do for the glory of His kingdom and of His name. Before you came forth out of your mother's womb, God said, I set you apart and I ordained that you should be a prophet to the nations. Paul the Apostle, in writing to the Galatians, declared that he was separated from his mother's womb and called by the grace of God. Now, Paul was called to be a prophet, or actually an apostle to the Gentiles or to the nations. So here is Jeremiah, a prophet to the nations, separated from his mother's womb, called by God, ordained for this ministry. Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, separated from his mother's womb, called by the grace of God, that he should bring the glorious news of Jesus Christ unto the nations, unto the Gentiles. And the word translated Gentiles is the word for nations, and they are interchangeable. David said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes did see my substance before I was formed, and in your book all of my members were written before they ever existed, when as yet there were none of them. We oftentimes bring our babies to be dedicated to the Lord. That's in recognition that God has a plan and a purpose for each life here on earth. And so the idea behind it is the parents are offering that child to the Lord and saying, Lord, you have given us this wonderful gift, and we want the best for them, and we know that your will and your ways are best. And so we dedicate this child to you, that it might serve you in whatever capacity you have purposed and planned, that you might fulfill your will in this child. God has a plan, a purpose, that was purposed before you were ever born, and that stands for each of us. And as we get older, we can look back and we can see how God separated us and prepared us for the work that he would have for us to do. Now, over against that, we have our free wills that God will not violate. So that it doesn't follow necessarily that all of us are fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives. We can say no to the call of God. We can say, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to do your will. I'll live after my own will. I'll do it my way. And there are many people who have rejected the will of God for their lives in order that they might follow their own desires. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But yet, not all come to repentance, though that is God's will. That is God's purpose. God is not willing that any should perish, and yet many do perish, because they fight against the will of God for their lives. So, against the fact that God knows and has ordained and separated a person, there is that truth that the person must himself surrender himself to do that will of God and that fulfill that plan that God has for their lives. Looking back in my own life, I can see the hand of God and how God actually separated me from my mother's womb that he might call me to do his work. In fact, before I was born, while I was still in my mother's womb, 2 months before I was born, my cousin died of spinal meningitis, who lived just a short distance away from us. And my two-year-old sister, my older sister, had spinal meningitis, and as far as they could ascertain, she also died, inasmuch as her heart, or the pulse stopped, and she quit breathing, and other symptoms of death. My mother, in desperation, grabbed my sister and ran up the street 2 blocks to a church that she had been visiting on occasion, a church that believed in prayer and in the power of God. And she went in, and the pastor laid my little sister there on the floor, and he began to pray, and he encouraged my mother to get her eyes on the Lord. Don't look at the circumstances, but just look to the Lord and get her eyes on Jesus. And as my mother was praying, she said, "Lord, if you will just give me my little girl again, give her back to me, Lord, I will go in the ministry, I will serve you, I will give my life and dedicate my life to you." My sister began to cry, and my mother took her back to the apartment healed. It was dramatic as far as the family was concerned. My father accepted the Lord, and my mother committed her life fully to the Lord, so that 2 months later, when I was born and the doctor said it's a boy, my father went down the corridor of the hospital saying, "Praise the Lord, it's a boy." And my mother said, "Lord, through this son, I will fulfill my vow to serve you and to minister." So that from the time I was able to talk, she started teaching me the scriptures and having me memorize the scriptures. People remark so many times that how well I know the scriptures. It's because I started memorizing them from the time I was able to talk. Started reciting scriptures as she began to just pour the word of God into my heart. Bedtime stories were not the Goldilocks variety, but were David and Moses and Joshua and Elijah and the stories of Paul and of Jesus and of the apostles. And I just grew up in the Word of God, steeped in the Word of God. And yet, I had my own ambitions. Until that day in which God challenged me, and like Jeremiah, at about the same age, the Lord spoke to me and called me into the ministry. Now, I could have pursued my own career at that point. I could have followed my own ambitions. But yet, it was as though the Lord was saying, "I knew you before you were ever born. When you came forth out of the womb, I separated you and ordained what you should do." My only regret is that my mother never did live to see the full plan of God for my life. I was still pastoring a small little struggling church when my mother died. And she wasn't able to see what God had in mind when years ago she said, "Lord, through this child, I will fulfill my vow to you." Well, I'm sure she's looking down and rejoicing from heaven, but I mean, she wasn't here to see it. God called him. Now, he had an interesting response to the call of God. Verse 6, "Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child.'" God had called him to go and speak to the kings, to speak to the nations. And he objected. He said, "Lord, I cannot speak. I'm just a child." The commentators suggest that he was 17 years old at the time. And you can imagine what a 17-year-old would think if God would say to him, "I've separated you from your mother's womb, and I've ordained that you should be a prophet to the nations." You'd have the same kind of a feeling. "Lord, I'm only 17. President Bush won't listen to me. Mikhail Gorbachev won't, you know, they won't listen to me. I'm too young. I'm just a child." Now, notice he didn't say, "I will not speak." But he said, "I cannot speak." He was talking about the consciousness of his own inability and weakness. He realized that what God was calling him to do in and of the natural self, it could not be done. "Lord, I cannot speak. I'm only a child." Now, when God called Moses, Moses said much the same thing. "Lord, I cannot speak." The Lord said, "I will put my words in your mouth." He said, "Lord, I stutter." The Lord said, "I'll give you Aaron to speak for you." He said, "Lord, why don't you get someone else?" And the anger of the Lord, it says, was kindled against Moses, because Moses really didn't want to do that work of God. And so that is not the case with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was just speaking of the consciousness of his inabilities at his age of doing what God had called him to do. And I think that anyone who experiences the call of God upon his life for a service is aware of his own inability to fulfill that call of God. We're aware of our weaknesses, of our lack and many times, we just stop at that. We say, "Well, I just can't do that." But someone has pointed out that when God calls a person for the ministry, he is not looking for people who are highly talented with great abilities. But what God is looking for is availability. "Lord, I'm available. What you see is what you get. But Lord, do what you want in my life and through my life." And just making yourself available to do the work of God. And so Jeremiah, though very conscious of his inability, was nonetheless available for God to use. Many times the very thing that we think disqualifies us from serving the Lord is the real qualifier. God is not looking for very strong people to do his work. He's looking for weak people who recognize their weakness to the extent that they know they'll have to trust in the Lord. God isn't looking for that capable person, but for that person who is willing to be used of God and has to look to God completely for the strength and for the wisdom and for the directions for the ministry. You see, if God only used highly qualified people to do his work, then we would be prone to say, well, God can't use me. God only uses highly qualified people. And we would say, well, look at what they are, though. Look at the talent they have. Look at the abilities. My, they're just a natural leader. They're just a and we would be prone to glorify the instrument rather than God who has used the instrument. You see, when God is calling you to do a work, in reality, he is not looking that you become the instrument to do the work, but that you be the instrument through which he can do his work. In God's hands, to be used of God, to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for this world. And so that's what God is looking for. People who are aware of their inabilities, of their weaknesses, who will trust in him and in his power. So God responded to Jeremiah's objection by declaring what God was going to do. God said, you will go to all that I shall send you. So basically, God is saying, I'm going to send you. And whatsoever I command you, that you will speak. I'll give you the words. You speak what I command you to speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you. You see, the Lord is promising his sufficiency for Jeremiah's insufficiency. What Jeremiah was going to say was going to make them angry. He was going to be accused of treason. The Lord revealed to Jeremiah that Babylon was going to conquer over Judah. Now, there were false prophets that were saying that Judah was going to destroy Babylon, that they'll never come within the city. Fight, defend, you know. You're going to drive the Babylonians out of here. And Jeremiah was saying, no, that's not true. The city is going to fall to Babylon. And so surrender. Spare yourself and your children. Spare yourself all of the devastation and all. Surrender to Babylon. Pay taxes to them and live peaceably here. But he was accused of treason. They say, well, that man is treasonous. They threw him in the dungeon. But the Lord said, I will be with you. Don't fear their faces. And he put forth his hand. I will deliver you, saith the Lord. And he put forth his hand and he touched my mouth, Jeremiah said. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. And so God answers his objection by declaring who God is and what God is going to do. I shall send you. I am with you to deliver you. I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over the nations. I will hasten my word to perform it. And the final verse of chapter 1, the Lord declared, again, I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Every difficulty, every problem answered by the presence and the power of God in his life. This also is true of us. Some of you are facing some real tough situations. You've had some real reversals. Your lives are in a real mess. You feel like you're trapped. You cannot see any way out of the present dilemma. You've become hopeless, and because of the hopelessness, you've despaired and you're filled with depression. You really don't know where to go, what to do, where to turn. In your weakness, in your dilemma, if you will turn to the Lord and look to the Lord, you will find that He will be to you all that you need. As with Jeremiah, the Lord will say, I will be with you. I will deliver you. I will accomplish my purposes and my plans. And you can discover the power of the Lord working in your life, miracles that you never dreamed of, as you just surrender yourself and the situation to Him. Many times God brings us to that place of acknowledgement and recognition of our own weakness so that we will turn ourselves over to Him. As you've heard said, it's not a scripture, but it's sure close to one. Man's extremities are God's opportunities. It's a truth. When you come to the extreme where you can't go any further, that is often the place where God picks it up and takes over. And it is at my point of limitation that I come to experience the power of the unlimited God. Because I know that I can't go any further. I know I've carried it as far as possible. And it is at that point that God steps in and He does then His work. To my excitement and amazement. And I watch then the glorious work of God as He delivers, as He sets free. In our weakness, we need to learn to rely upon His strength. In our ignorance, we need to trust His wisdom. Paul the Apostle was writing to the Corinthians about the difficulties of the ministry. He was telling them all of the problems that he faced as a minister, the pressures that he was under, the heavy, heavy load that he was trying to carry. And as he listed all of the problems of the ministry, he asked the question, and who is sufficient for these things? Who in the world can handle this? And then Paul answered his own question, declaring, but our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. You may be looking at your problems and the situations that you are facing, and you may be asking the question, and just who is sufficient for this? And you're very conscious that you're not. This is more than I can handle. Who can handle this? Who is sufficient for this? But you need also, with Paul, to learn of the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. As Paul was talking to the Lord about a continued problem that he was facing, an irritating situation, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And as you bring that problem to the Lord, that situation, that need, the Lord also will speak to you and say, look, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. God may be calling some of you to serve him, and you may have shirked from the call of God. Like Jeremiah, you may have said, oh, Lord, I can't do that. There's no way, Lord, that I can do that. And you may have turned from that call of God upon your life because of the consciousness of your limitations. But you need to realize that though you may be limited, extremely limited, the God that has called you to serve is an unlimited God, except as I put those limitations upon him. But if I will just surrender myself to him, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. And the eye hasn't seen and the ear hasn't heard the works that God will do for those who fear him. God has a plan. God has a work for each of you to accomplish for his glory. And his strength is sufficient. So we pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your promise of what you will do and what you will be to those who will step out in faith and trust you. Lord, as we follow then the life of Jeremiah and we see his prophesying to that nation that was being destroyed, the difficulties, the hardships, yet, Lord, you were there through it all. Your word kept coming to his heart. And he was faithful to the call. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to that call, to give ourselves to you, to be used as you desire, to bring your will to pass upon this earth, to bring your love to a needy world, your truth to those that sit in ignorance and darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? This phrase, "the word of the Lord came to me," is one that you're going to find repeated over and over and over again throughout the book of Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet saying, oh, you're going to read that so many times. God wants to speak to you. But you know, to hear the voice of God, it takes waiting upon God. It takes quietness. It takes time away from TV and other kinds of distractions. And I trust that this afternoon you'll find a quiet place, a quiet time, where you might listen for the word of the Lord to come to your heart, that God might begin to lead you and guide you in that which he purposed from the beginning for your life, that which he has planned for you to do, to bring glory unto himself. And so may you hear from the Lord as he speaks to your heart. And though conscious of your weaknesses and lack of qualifications, perhaps from a worldly standpoint, may you respond to his all-sufficiency. And allow God to do for you what he's wanting to do, that he might do through you that which he pleases. In Jesus' name.